Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to today's show. You're listening live to the Frank Williams Show, and I am your host, Frank Williams. Hey, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the show. Those who are listening via my show page live online at Blog Talk Radio, thank you guys for tuning in, and those who are listening via landline or cell phone, thank you guys for tuning in as well. 818-301-5834 is our number to the show. That's where you can call in and listen live to the show, and you can also press the number 1 on your keypad, and that will alert me that you'd like to be on the air and give your comments or opinions on today's episode. Again, the call-in number is 818-301-5834. Now, today's show is being brought to you by our sponsor, CPA on Duty. For all of your tax or accounting needs, call the certified public accounting firm of CPA on Duty. You can reach them at 770-732-0244. Whether it's personal taxes, personal accounting, corporate taxes, corporate accounting, and even IRS issues, the professionals at CPA on Duty can help you with your concerns. Give them a call today, 770-732-0244. And please don't forget to mention that the Frank Williams Show sent you. Again, thanks, guys, for tuning in, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Before I get into today's show, well, let's go ahead and do this. Right now it's 62 degrees in ATL. I had to update there. Right now it's 62 degrees in ATL, sunny skies. We're looking at a high today of 85. Today is Halloween, right? Excuse me. Today is Halloween, right? And it's 85. It's going to be 85 degrees today. This is a record high for Halloween. Tomorrow is November 1st, and tomorrow we're going to be 82 degrees in November. Wednesday, 79 degrees. Thursday, 81 degrees. So all week long, we're looking at the low to mid 80s throughout the week. Sunshine, bright sunshine. I mean, it's like summertime year round, right? It's like summertime being year round here in Atlanta, and it is really amazing. And the leaves are falling because they know that this time of year they're supposed to be getting rid of their leaves. But then you come the next day and it's 80 degrees, you know, and they're like, hey, man, I shouldn't have got rid of my leaves so soon. But that's exactly what's happening, and I don't know. We're looking at maybe this weekend for the weather to start to change, okay? And then when the weather starts to change, please, guys, try to hit it off at the pass where you wear long sleeves, jackets, and keep your head covered so that you don't get into the colds and the flu that the fall season brings with the change of temperature. Today's word of the day is sepulcher. Sepulcher. S-E-P-U-L-C-H-R-E. Sepulcher is a noun, and it means a place of burial or a tomb. The second meaning is a receptacle for religious relics, especially in an altar. Okay? And so a sepulcher is a place of burial or a tomb. Okay? That's a great word for you guys to use and put into your vocabulary. Now, let's see. Before we get into the show, again, I don't know if you guys watched the game on yesterday, the Falcons game, but the Atlanta Falcons really put on a show yesterday and beat the Green Bay Packers. I think it was 32-33. All right, a one-point win, which was, it was great for us. We have to be able to pull off these kind of wins. And we haven't been able to the last couple of weeks. We weren't able to pull off the fourth quarter victory the last couple of weeks, but we did this week. And we're fighting hard, and we're now 5-3 at the top of our division, and we should continue to move forward. And that's what we want to do. Barring injury, we got to keep the guys healthy and keep everybody moving forward. And we should be good for the second half of the season, okay? So congratulations to the Falcons and a great job on offense on yesterday, playing great offense. I think we may even be the number one scoring team in the league right now in the whole NFL. So that's a good job as far as the Falcons are concerned. Now, the Georgia Bulldogs, I'm not sure what's going on there. I have my opinion, and that's exactly what it is. It's my opinion. You might have your opinion or whatever, but as I watch these games over the last few weeks, I see that we're not using Chubb and these other running backs like we should be. We're starting to more and more rely on this freshman quarterback who came in highly touted, but he came out of high school. If he was in high school, he'd probably be tearing it up. But he's in college now. He's playing in the SEC, which is probably the highest ranking conference in all of college football. It's the best of the best. Okay, so you know you can't expect this guy to do what he did in high school. All right, to give him a good platform, a good foundation, which is the running game. And without the running game, without being able to run the ball, you can't throw the ball. And I don't know if Chubb's not 100%, or if he and Kirby Smart don't see eye to eye, or if Kirby Smart doesn't have the confidence in him as Mark Richt did. I don't know. But if the guy's healthy enough to start the game, healthy enough to take handoffs, come on, man. Feed him that ball. Feed him the ball. And get these guys to block up front. We aren't getting any blocking up front. And we're leaving our defense on the field for the whole game. I mean, defense played the entire game. I bet you if you look at the time of possession, Florida's time of possession as opposed to our time of possession, it was a huge disparity there. Because we get the ball and go three and out punt, and the defense right back on the field. No one can play the entire game. Right, especially on defense. And that's all I have to say, but that's what's going on with Georgia football. Now, getting into today's show is entitled, "My Georgia Voters, Please Vote No for Amendment 1, which would privatize our school system." And I had this show set up on last week. I had a caller to call in and kind of monopolize the show. So people asked me to please talk about it again. So I'm doing another show on this, which is, like I said, Georgia voters, please vote no for Amendment 1, which would privatize our schools. And you know, I found an article from the online. It says from SavannahNow.com, and I want to read this. But at the same time, our governor, Governor Deal, is pushing this so much, and we kind of have a little insight onto why he's pushing it so much. And it was because his father was a school administrator, and he had these ideas about the school system, and he was trying to push his ideas on the school board so much that they kicked him out, fired him, and even had him to leave the county where his job was. So he's been brought up in a situation, so to speak, where he's against the school administration, and he doesn't like anything, seems like, that they do. So what's happening is that, you know, you guys can early vote. I know my polls are open today and the rest of this week. I don't know about your polls and how that works. I think it works differently in different counties. I know that some counties like I know Gwinnett County, some people were voting over the weekend. So I'm going to do my best to vote today, or I'll vote first thing tomorrow morning. But excuse me. Either way, I will be doing my early voting this week. And I'd like you guys to do the same and encourage other people to get out there and vote and early vote if they can. If not, then definitely vote on next Tuesday. All right. And I want to read you some of this article and so to understand what's going on with Amendment 1 and help you maybe to make a more educated, so to speak, or more knowledge-based decision on this Amendment 1. I'm not telling you how to vote. I guess I did by saying don't vote no for Amendment 1, but that's my thinking, okay? It says a proposed amendment to the Georgia Constitution that will appear on the November ballot promises to help fix some of the state's worst performing schools. But if it passes, the state will actually take control of those schools away from local elected school boards and give it to unelected bureaucrats in Atlanta and possibly to private for-profit companies. Now, I'm going to turn back and say something about this. They say it's 20 schools. Okay, a promoted amendment to promises to help fix some of the state's worst performing schools. And if you're going to take away the school boards, the elected school boards, and give it to unelected bureaucrats, you know, what do they know about the Atlanta or Georgia schools? You know, what do they know? And, you know, to private for-profit companies, who are they? Okay? They didn't tell us who these for-profit companies are, who these unelected bureaucrats are. And for the amount of money, tax dollars that go into these schools and these, you know, I say too that some of these local school boards aren't doing their jobs. I say that. I believe that a lot of them aren't doing their jobs and, you know, they should be looked at for that. But it's an elected office. So people are electing people to be in these jobs, but obviously people aren't doing their share. But, you know, I believe that if that's the case, then, you know, hey, they should be definitely pulled out of their positions and someone else should be put into that position. But at the same time, don't put people in there who are, you know, don't know anything about the school system, don't know how to run it. And, you know, what I look at all the time is, and all I can look at is my growing up. I went to public elementary school. I went to public high school in Atlanta. And when I was growing up in public elementary school, the teachers, principals, and administrators were for the students. They were actually teachers, and they taught the students, and they cared about the students. I believe a lot of, and not saying all teachers, but I believe a lot of, and the majority of these school teachers take these jobs not for the money, because they aren't making a lot of money, but for the, you know, you work 8 months out of the year, you do get a paycheck. May not be a huge paycheck, but you do get a paycheck. And then, you know, of course, this is a way of wiping out your student loan debt. And then if you stay in the school system until you retire, it's the biggest and the best retirement compensation in the United States. The teachers' retirement fund is the largest retirement fund in the entire United States. So these teachers live pretty well in retirement, and I believe they should. I'm not against that, but I believe a lot of teachers are going into teaching for the wrong reasons, and that's something to be looked at. And this article goes on to say, Amendment 1 would allow the state to assume control of failing schools and place them in a statewide opportunity school district. Current law defines a failing school as one that doesn't make minimum standards on the state college and career ready performance index for 3 years in a row. But that can be changed. That's right. A law already passed by the legislature says the superintendent of that school district would not be the state superintendent of schools who is elected by the voters, but a person appointed by the governor. State that again. It would be a law already passed by the legislature says the superintendent of that school district would not be the state superintendent of schools who is elected by the voters, but but a person appointed by the governor and confirmed by the state senate. That person would be answerable only to the governor, thus centralizing more power in the governor's office. So, and let's stop right there. So that's a reason. That's a huge reason why Governor Deal is out in front of this Amendment 1. He's wanting it to be passed because he gets to appoint the superintendent of schools. They don't have to be elected, but he gets to appoint. This law already passed. It says that the superintendent of that school district, the bad school district that has not made minimum standards on the state college and career ready performance index for 3 years in a row, that he can kick that superintendent out and appoint one that has to be confirmed by the Senate. And then that person would be answerable only to the governor, thus centralizing more power in the governor's office. That's what he wants. That's what Governor Deal wants. And it goes on to say that superintendent would be responsible for deciding whether to take over failing schools, and if the state does take over, that person would decide whether to close or convert them to charter schools. Excuse me. If that superintendent chose to make a school a charter, he or she would select the governing board, select any management, decide whether to retain staffers and teachers. Okay? The superintendent would gain access to all the school's funding and decide how to spend it. The superintendent alone would decide how much voice the local community would have in any power to give to anyone, much less one who doesn't. So how can we turn over our school district to a superintendent that the governor appoints? they can go in and select the governing board, select any management, decide whether to retain staffers and teachers. So they can go in, that one person can go in and wipe the whole school system clean of its, you know, the governing board, the management, and the staffers, and get rid of teachers. That superintendent would gain access to all the school's funding and decide how to spend it. Now, that's serious business right now, right there. Because that's billions of dollars. That's billions of dollars. And that's those billions of dollars are your tax dollars that you're giving this person. You're giving them to spend however they want. Now, I'm sure they'll go in and pull out some teachers that they don't like. Teachers that are really great teachers that they don't like. Pull out some of the governing board that they don't like. People that are really good on that board that they don't like. And plus, you, the community, which have your kids in the school, which are using your tax dollars to run the schools, would not have a voice in how the schools are run. Now, what makes this such a great idea? What makes this such a great idea? See, I've said all along that this is a thing of money. It's always money. If deal is involved in this, it's about money. They want to control the money. They don't want to let the school board control the money. They don't want the superintendent of schools and the board to control the money. He wants to appoint someone to control the money. Now, you know, for me, as I've always said, these people that are in politics, they're only in politics, they're in politics for two things, power and money. They're in there for power and money. And that's what deal is about, power and money. When you want to strip the whole school system, and I, to be honest with you, I think there's a lot of teachers in the school system who aren't there for the kids. Could care less about the kids. Could care less about the kids getting an education. Could care less about how they're doing in school, how their grades are going, anything. Could care less. But when I was in school, that's exactly what they cared about. The administration in my high school, they were concerned about kids who were not attending class, kids who were failing, kids who were dropping out of school, who weren't coming to school, and they wanted to find out why they weren't coming to school. And they'd actually get in touch with their parents to see why aren't they coming to school, what's going on. That's how it should be. But all that has fallen apart. But at the same time, I think we should somehow get new people in there. elect new people for these school boards? I think so. I think some of these teachers aren't being held accountable for what they're doing. I think we should listen to the teachers and see what they think should be done to help these grades and these kids get up to par. Because I think some of these teachers have great ideas. But they aren't being heard. And that's a problem. When you don't listen to the people who are in the trenches every day dealing with the kids, and that's exactly why the kids aren't getting there, then that's a problem, to listen to the teachers. You know, now you have to, you know, kids don't even have sufficient school books. They don't even have sufficient paper and supplies for the school. Because the administration, this administrations and the state administrations and the superintendents and all these people are raping the system of their resources. Okay? They're raping the system of their resources. How can all this tax money go into the school system, but somehow it's not being seen in the school system? Somebody's grabbing it along the way. And that's what Governor Deal wants. He wants to grab that money along the way, take care of himself and make his family fat and happy. And that's not going to happen. Not here. Not now. Not ever, Governor Deal. Hey, that's all the time I have for you guys today. I'm going to shut down. That's the end of the show. And I sure hope you guys, you know, got something out of this. And you know, grab a hold of this. Look it up for yourselves and see what, you know, what do you think should be done about this? How do you feel? How are you going to vote? Please, research, read about this, and then make your decision. And I'm sure it's going to be a good decision. Hey, this is Frank. I'm over, and I'm out. I'll see you guys in about 23 and a half hours. Take care.
Hey, y'all, we got this thing we want to do here, and we want y'all to join on with LTV and holler along with us. Go like this. Come on, y'all.
When we party,
yes,
we party hardy.
Yeah, yeah.
When we boogie, boogie.
Come on, y'all.
When we party hardy.
Yes, we do.
When we boogie. We're boogie.
music that we're playing. Because the song has been designed with the people who party. Singing.